Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 296 main card opener. I'm doing all five of the main card fights this time around because, honestly, every single one of the fights on this card is really interesting. Of course, the main card opener is Vicente Luque against Ian Garry. A very interesting fight between two guys that are most likely going to want to stand and trade. Will there be some grappling? Potentially, yes. Who's going to do it and how is it going to happen? Well, I'll chat about those things in a moment. But generally, overall, it's kind of been overshadowed a little bit by the drama around Ian Garry and his personal life, which is a shame because I feel like if both of these guys were walking into the octagon with a clear mind focused on the competition, I feel like Ian Garry is most likely at this point in his career the sharper fighter. You know, we've seen Vicente stopped for the first time in his career now. And of course, you know, he is 6 years older than Ian Garry. He's had some real scraps, some real wars. Whereas Ian Garry, he's still not really taken much punishment. You know, he's undefeated. He's young. He's fast. He manages range very, very well. And he's got lots of good setups as well to kind of dismantle people. That being said, of course, Vicente Luque is an incredibly dangerous fighter and a real, real test for Ian Garry. Let's do a quick tale of the tape before we get into anything else. So Vicente Luque with a record of 22-9-1. This is UFC stats, so I have a feeling that it's probably going to be... Oh, no, it's good, good, good. It's correct on UFC stats. So 22-9-1, Ian Garry 12-0. Height advantage for Ian Garry stands at 6'3". He's got a 4-inch height advantage, but Vicente Luque is the one that's got a 1-inch reach advantage. Before I move on, Ian Garry is going to be the one most likely wanting to play this one at range. The way that Ian Garry fights, the kind of looseness from the outside where he can step in with fast feints, utilizing his speed, like he did against Neil Magny, chopping into that lead leg, this is most likely going to be the game that he'll play. Vicente Luque is much more of a Thai boxer. He's much better at fighting at close range. Like, if you think of the punches that he's landed, like the counter punch against Laprise keeps coming to mind. It's a short range, catches him on the counter. It, like, the short right hands that he lands, the check left hooks that he lands, that's really where he does his best work. But to do that work, he's going to have to be a lot closer to Ian Garry than Ian Garry will probably allow if he's got the space. So, even though Ian Garry is the taller fighter, Vicente Luque is going to want to, you know, probably press him up against the fence, squeeze him as much as he can, square his stance up, and make him fight quite a close fight. It's quite similar in that respect to the Shavkat Wonderboy fight, although that is a more extreme version of this. And you can watch the episode of that to get my thoughts on that. But generally, I feel like Ian Garry is going to fight very relaxed in this one. He's gonna try and chop into that lead leg, much like he did with Neil Magny. He's going to work the midsection, and he's going to keep creating space for himself so Luque keeps having to chase him, try and cut him down. Now, if Luque's smart and he's utilizing his footwork laterally very well, then he's going to be able to potentially trap Ian Garry up against the fence and take away some of that movement. That's when he can start to really tie box him, you know, kick his legs, work close range boxing techniques, clinch, knees to the body. Anything that he can do at close range to make this a scrappy fight, he's much more likely to have success. The other thing is, what, in fact, before we go on from striking, let me just talk about the striking stats. Now, of course, Luque's got a lot more fights and a lot more experience than Garry. They've got a pretty much same average fight time, but, you know, by a minute 10 seconds, Ian Garry being slightly longer. But still got a higher striking output, 6.67 compared to 5.17 for Luque. Better striking accuracy, slightly better striking defense. The stats lean slightly towards Ian Garry, but it's also worth noting that if you look who Ian Garry's fought compared to who Vicente Luque's fought, the fact that Luque's stats are still very, very good when he has fought some of the best in the welterweight division, best that the welterweight division's ever had to offer, you've got to really keep that in mind. The quality of Luque's fights, the quality of his ability is maintained in those stats because he's fought a higher level of competition. Now, when it comes to grappling, to takedowns, Ian Garry's got decent takedown defense. Because he's so tall and because he can be kind of closed down and squared up against the fence. I feel like there are takedowns that Luque can get on him here that might make his life a bit easier. If he can put Ian Garry on the floor, force him to grapple, then there are lots of different things in Luque's game that are very, very valuable to him here. Lots of head and arm chokes, Bravo chokes, anacondas, guillotines. There's a lot of things that involve a head and a shoulder. I mean, the Bravo choke is his favorite. He's got, I think, 5 Bravo chokes on his record. And that's what you're looking for there. It's kind of similar to an anaconda, but he's more face on than on the side. He's got anacondas though as well. He can attack from the bottom and from the top. There are lots of different things that he can do with the head and arm of Ian Garry if he puts him in a vulnerable position. Like, even if he's able to back him up against the fence and hit him a few times and knock him down, even if he's able to land a knee to the midsection and knock the wind out of him for a moment where he kind of squats down against the fence, these are the positions where Luque is going to be starting to attack the neck. Guillotines, but he tends to like to include an arm in there as well. And then, you know, you'll see how he recovers these positions. Even if his opponent starts to bail out, he's good at chasing the submission and finishing it. So that for me is probably the best route to victory for Vicente Luque. Close Ian Garry down, force him to fight a close range battle, take some of his movement away, work some trips and reap some body locks, potentially some single legs to, if not to put him on his back, to destabilize him and make him build back up. Because while he's building back up, usually heads are available for grabbing. What else have I got to say? So if Ian Garry does get closed down, the thing that he's very good at is he's very good at getting his head out of the way. He's very good at kind of slipping back and forcing people to miss. Very good at making people look a little silly. If Luque starts to swing and miss and then starts to come crashing forward, Garry then is able to just find space because Luque is going to be chasing in a straight line, which means Garry can start to break off. The patience of Luque is going to be a key in here. And of course, yes, he has the experience advantage, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be able to fight like the more mature fighter. Like, Ian Garry could be very frustrating to fight because he's very good at getting out the way. Like, if you go back to his Cage Warriors career and you see him when he was fighting Rostam Ackman, who's a tough, close-range fighter, Ian Garry was able to toy with him at a range where Ackman wasn't really able to do much to him. The times when I've seen Ian Garry kind of struggled and tangled up is when he's fighting someone like Jack Grant, who is willing to throw everything, in, including the kitchen sink at him, jump on guillotines, attack necks, throw flying knees into the fence and be a little bit more, you know, high pressure. Jamie, you've just got really wide eyed. You're right.
Oh, it's fine.
I thought you were going to tell me you forgot to press record on the camera for a second. that close range kind of high pressure Muay Thai style that Vicente Luque can bring will be really valuable for him. For Ian Garry, it's about sniping like he did against Neil Magny, breaking that lead leg down. And you know, and he took Neil Magny down earlier in the fight, but he disengaged. He didn't want to grapple. And I do feel like, for whatever he might be saying at the press conference, for whatever his outward opinion of Vicente Luque is, he's going to very much respect his grappling skills. Anyone can get tangled up in one of those attacks, especially if you've been dazed by a shot. Especially when you've been when you're breathing hard and you've been fighting hard for 10 minutes, you know, this is where Luque will always look for a neck. Even in the last round, he can be very dangerous with his submission attacks. And one other thing to think about as well is if this is a high paced fight where Luque is pressuring Ian Garry is going to expend a lot of energy moving away. Like, think about the Alexander Gustafsson John Jones fight, the first one. I wish that we had a step tracker, a pedometer on both of those guys, because Gustafsson must have done twice as many steps as John Jones in that fight, and it does take a toll. Now, of course, this is a 15-minute fight, so there's more likely that Ian Garry's going to be fine with his gas tank. But if he's forced to grapple, if he's taking body shots, if he's under pressure and constantly having to find space in the octagon, this is where Vicente Luque can get through. But in the process of that, Luque is most likely going to get hit with a few shots and picked off and probably take some real hammer to his lead leg. So these are all things that kind of hang in the balance. Like, how does this fight start? Who gets off on the right foot? You know, who's potentially going to take the biggest first shot. And that could be a calf kick that can change the pace of the fight entirely. The one other thing that and this kind of goes back to something I mentioned at the start, is the kind of the situation around Ian Garry. You know, is the chaos that's going on in the media, his personal life, everyone having an opinion on it. You know, that is exhausting. Like, he even said something about he was concerned about his family's safety when traveling to the event, which is of course never something that you want on your mind when you're going into fight week. And including that, there's the drama around him moving around different gyms. Now, the press conference for this is going to be a pay-per-view event in itself. And Ian Garry is going to probably be the focus of it for a lot of the fighters on the stage, even if they're not his opponent. So there's going to be kind of an exhaustion that comes with this fight week that might be something different to what he's dealt with in the past. And with the drama around kind of gym hopping, like, you know, he was at Renegade for a bit, then he went to GB Top Team for a week, and then he left there and I think he went to Brazil. Like, never being settled in a gym means that you never get consistency with the same coaches. And if you go into a gym where the coaches are good, you need consistency in their company to make sure that you're getting the full picture of what they have to offer. Like, there are, like, say, I mean, either GB Top Team or Renegade, two gyms that we've spent time at recently for Veronica's training camp. They've got incredible coaches there, but you need longer than a couple of 3 weeks there to really understand the messages that they're trying to get across. And also from a coach's perspective, like, you don't want someone that shows up in you know, 1 week and then you don't know whether they're going to be there next. So you don't open up. You know, the detriment of his presence in the gym means that he's not really getting the most out of these gyms. Even though he's going to great gyms, he's not getting the most out of these coaches because they're not going to invest their time in him because he's either late or he's inconsistent. But on the counter to that, and this is something that came to mind this morning, you know, he's still very, very confident, right? And what that tells me is that he's going around a lot of these world-class gyms and he's sparring with a lot of world-class fighters, and he must be holding his own. Because if he wasn't holding his own, he would have had a reality check in the gym by now, and he would have taken a hit to his confidence. So the fact that he is still traveling around all these gyms and sparring with top level fighters and world champions like Leon, and his confidence is still present, I haven't seen a great deal of sparring footage, but that tells me that he's not having a hard time in these gyms, which means that he may well have the skills to go all the way to the top. I don't want his personal life to overshadow the fighter that he is. But I certainly think he's got the potential to go all the way. And I think that if he can get around this, you know, this kind of turmoil that seems to be in his life at the moment, I feel like he has got the potential to really make a run at the top. But that certainly will be weighing on him this week, fight week, and the press conference may be quite telling. If he starts to get agitated, then he's going to be exhausted by the time the fight comes around, and that puts him on the back foot against Vicente, especially if Vicente's recognizing what's going on for this young man and seeing the pressure that he's going to get at the press conference, and decides to put the pressure on in the first round. You know, this could be a really rough night for him, Ian Garry, that is. But then, you know, Ian Garry is a rough night for anybody if he's on top form. What haven't I mentioned? I just didn't do the record breakdown. Oh, did I talk about takedown defense and stuff, Jamie? I did the striking stuff. Yeah, so Vicente Luque's got a slightly higher output for takedowns. Takedown accuracy, takedown defense is in the 60% range. A lot more submission attempts, of course, for Vicente Luque. I would imagine that if Ian Garry hits Vicente and hurts him, then he will follow him to the floor. But I think if he drops him with a low kick, or he knocks him off balance, or even if they get tangled up and Ian Garry goes for a takedown like he did earlier against Neil Magny, I don't think he's going to stay on the ground like he didn't against Neil Magny until the last 30 seconds of the fight, when it was kind of, you know, it would have been very difficult for him to lose the fight, unless, of course, you're playing in Paul Craig's guard. Quick breakdown of their records. So 22 wins for Vicente Luque. 50% of those come by way of knockout, 11 knockouts and 8 submissions. He has a very high finishing rate. That's very impressive. Ian Garry, 12 wins, 7 by knockout and 1 rear naked choke earlier in his career. like I said, I don't think his grappling's bad, but I don't think it's worth him tangling with Vicente Luque on the ground. It could be a rude awakening for him. Very, very interesting fight. Looking forward to it. All right. Enjoy the fights. Check out the other episodes for this event, and I'll see you next time.